Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, dreamers, to Katie Keene Cast, a podcast about the CW's Katie Keene that's coming to you directly from your dreams. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin, live at the Dream Gala.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Chapter 11, Who Can I Turn To? Is that the song?
Did I do that right? I don't think so.
I don't know that song.
Can it be now?
Who can it be now?
I don't know songs. Yep.
This is the podcast where we can really cut loose and sing our hearts, speak our truths.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about this one. This is a big episode of Katie.
Big episode.
Guest stars galore.
So big, I thought it was a season finale.
Yes, you did. I'm curious, because we talked about this right before you got on. You're like, oh, man, I can't believe this was the season finale. I was like, no, there are two more episodes.
Real cliffhanger.
This probably changes everything, right, Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah,
next season is going to be crazy.
You were feeling a little KO'd by the ending, but now maybe you'll get up for one last round.
Yeah, but that's right. To be fair, Pete, you thought every episode was the season finale, even the pilot, I believe, right?
No. But it's nice to see KO finally earn his name in this episode. Mm. Man, that was fantastic.
He didn't knock him out.
We should also probably mention, this is important to contextualize before we get into the recap of what's happened previously on Katie Keene, that Pete is, how did you describe it? A white girl drunk on a wine called Love Me Not. Is that what's going on?
Wow, you're a real asshole, Zalvin. I love telling you things off camera and then you being a real dick on camera.
There's no such thing as off camera.
I'm always on. I'm always recording.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I don't know if you're... it's a shit show outside, so, maybe I went and bought some white wine,
There's no judgment.
That's great. Just you have, you're a little unfocused right now, which I'm enjoying quite a bit.
And let me ask you, what varietal is Love Me Not? Mm. What's the grape? If you could, is it...
I think I could take this one because I actually visited the vineyard, and what they do is they go through and they look at the grapes. The grapes that are good, they say, love me, and they put those in one bucket. And the bad grapes, they say, love me not, and they throw them in, and that's what they make this wine out of.
If I could read from the bottle here, this is quite enjoyable.
Of course.
It's a 2018. Those were the days.
Great year.
White wine blend, California. A true romantic, it says. Love Me Not wears her heart on her sleeve. That's me.
That's true.
Right there.
It's true.
Or perhaps on her nose. That's a great wine joke right
wine
there.
Wine bottle comedy.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I mean, this wine is a perfect beverage for this episode where our characters wear their hearts on their sleeves as well.
Yeah,
and thanks for the transition there, Justin.
The traditional transition by Justin Tyler. Take the thing you're talking about and then mention the other thing you want to be talking about and build a little bridge right in between.
That's why I bought you that segue for Christmas this year. All right, let's move in and talk about what's happened previously on Katie Keene. Let's start with Katie Keene herself. She had been dating a guy named K.O. Kelly, who is a boxer. K.O. Kelly is now dating a woman named Zandra Cabot, who's a bit of an asshole. She's a villain, and we'll get more into her villainy in a second. But he started dating her after he and Katie broke up. Hold on to that information for later. He also has become a bit of a fashion model in the intervening time. Katie, meanwhile, is balancing a underwear model. Yes, specifically.
Very specifically.
What?
Very specifically, because it's more about modeling the body The original outfit, your skin.
Yeah. Back in the day, your first Met Gala was completely nude. Did you know
100%.
That? 100%.
Yep. In ancient Greece. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So she isn't also an aspiring fashion designer. She is currently working at Lacey's department store. Last episode, her mentor slash a bunch of other things, Gloria Gradbilt, was kicked out of her job. And subsequently, Katie Keene and her rival, Amanda, were both put in charge of the personal shopper department, which was a bit of a surprise for Katie because she was planning on quitting. The other thing that she's doing at the same time, though, is she is apprenticing for a famous designer named Guy LaMontagne. Guy LaMontagne, first night she met him, had a little bit of flirtation up until she threw up right on top of him. And since then, she has been working very hard as his apprentice. Pete, you were going to mention he's Satan. Is that what's...
Yeah. Just two quick corrections so far. Sure. Yes, he
love
is
this
Satan.
Real-time fact-checking, by the way.
Yeah. And then also, you forgot to mention that Kay O'Kelly was her true love, someone she's not over, in fact.
I don't know if we know that for a fact. In fact, I would say there's a lot of evidence in this episode that he ain't shit.
Well, I would agree with you to a point in the episode, but also she says out loud in this episode, I have never gotten over Kay O'Kelly. So
yeah, never in the intervening 2 to 3 weeks since they broke up. Never.
That's right.
Yeah. Take that, Katie Keene. Took you down a peg. Now, she had this flirtation with Guy LaMontagne. He is a temperamental fashion designer. She has been helping him out. She has become his muse in a certain sense, but she has been fighting her very strong attraction for him because, of course, he is her boss. So that's what's going on with Katie Keene. Let's move over to Josie McCoy. Josie McCoy has been dating her manager, Alex Cabot, who you might remember that name. He is the step-sibling of Xandra Cabot. He is very much in love with Josie, helped her start a new Pussycats, and the Pussycats do, in fact, have long tails and ears for hats, which is very exciting. And they are trying to make it on their own as a band after Xandra Cabot stole all of Josie's songs, stole her looks, and started her own band called Xandra and the Kitty Cats, which comes to a head very much so in this episode. Also, yeah. Pepper, let's move into Pepper. Pepper is an aspiring owner of a multimedia art space, is I guess what's going on with her. She is also helping out Josie quite a bit with her music career. But the main thing that you need to know about Pepper is she is also a con woman, and that has all come to a head when her wife has come back to town, her secret wife, and her wife wants to utterly destroy her and take her down. Her wife is also working with Pepper's former mentee, I guess, Dee Dee/girlfriend Dee Dee.
Mentee, assistant, and girlfriend, yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And concierge.
Yeah, there you go. So that's a bunch of the stuff going on with Pepper. Also, Pepper's friends do not know that she is a con woman or anything that is going on with her at all.
She's also trying to make things honestly now. She has said that she's trying to forget her past and make a clean living.
And the last person you need to know about is Jorge Lopez. Jorge moonlights as a drag queen named Ginger Lopez at Molly's Crisis, which is a bar downtown. Jorge was dating, well, as of last episode, two guys, Bernardo, who was a hunky fireman, and Buzz, his ex-boyfriend, had ended up in a threesome with him. And Bernardo, subsequently, because of that, because of a couple of mix-ups of the heart, Jorge and Bernardo broke up. Jorge saw Bernardo with Buzz, and Jorge, as we pick up this episode, is completely heartbroken. And the last little detail you need to know about Jorge is his brother is pretending to be a cop, but he's actually a villain called Prometheus that previously attacked the city of Star City before being beaten back by Arrow and Team Arrow.
Thank you for putting in there. Yeah, I really appreciate it. The only other correction, because I was going to bring that up, is that we should mention Gloria because
Gloria.
Before she left, that was Katie Keene's kind of mentor, one of her mentors at the job. Before she left, she says, "Don't be like me and, you know, sleep with your boss." Guy. That was her kind of, you know, last words before she got booted.
Yep.
Interesting.
There you go. And actually, though, the last thing you need to know about Jorge is he has two parents that he is renting his apartment from. He lives in the apartment with Josie and Katie. They all pay rent, though. And Jorge has clashed with his father in particular. We've talked quite a bit about how it's a very nuanced relationship where his father, it took him a while to understand that Jorge was gay. Jorge's father recently found out that he was also Ginger Lopez and is having a very hard time wrapping his mind around that, particularly because Bernardo and Jorge were attacked on the street by a gang of homophobic thugs, and his father got very worried about it. Yes, Pete, another correction. Go
so
ahead.
Many corrections.
I have a question for you guys.
Hmm.
You are fathers.
Yes.
So let's say, you know, your child grows up, works in the bodega his whole life where you guys kind of live and work, and then wants to live in the building where you guys all are. Would you charge him rent, or would you let him live in the place that he's worked and kind of lived his whole life?
So we've talked about this on the podcast before, and I think everybody was cool with it and didn't say anything weird or razz me at all about it. But when I first moved to New York, I moved
Sounds
into
like
an
us.
Apartment, just a very normal, regular apartment that my parents did own, and I did pay rent to my parents. And there's no further details that I want to offer up about that apartment.
What was the view like from that place?
I mean, it was pretty good because it was on the 43rd floor because it was a penthouse apartment, but it's not a big deal. I paid for it. I paid for the rent.
Now, as a penthouse resident, what was that lifestyle like? Was it sort of like sexy, like a lot of high-end parties?
I have a lot of parties there, so...
I know if I lived in the penthouse, I would just ride up and down the elevator waiting for somebody to get on, and then I would push the button for the penthouse. You know what I mean?
As a flex?
Yeah.
Wow, that would get
old fast.
Yeah,
I wasted a lot
of
my fucking time doing that. That's exactly what I did. I will tell you, there was one time on July 4th, because it was right by the river and the views were so good, that the place would get totally packed with people. I'd usually have a July 4th party, I'm really digging a hole for myself here. The doorman was always very...
Doorman, here we go.
What's his name,
so
Alfred?
It was tough to get people upstairs unless... You said it was okay for them to come upstairs. So there was one year that because people couldn't get up and down, I actually went down 43 floors and then back up 43 floors. And the next day, I couldn't walk. That's my whole story.
Wow.
Really and hard life. It was a hard life.
When you say you went down, walking.
Was that like your butler carrying you, or is it like was he just sort of holding your hand?
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to walk with my feet. Like, I couldn't walk the next day because I was so full of delicious food my butler had made for me.
Yeah. You were so sore from yelling at your servants to do your wishes.
To clean up my fucking party already. It's not going to clean itself up.
Plus, it's got to be tough for your butler to, you know, sweep up all the rose petals after you walk by all the time, you know.
And yeah, Pete, because my butler was always trying to fuck me.
Fuck butler? And Pete, you were actually Alex's butler for a while. That's how you guys met, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nope.
Why Pete asked the thing about pressing the button in the elevator, because he was so annoyed he had to carry me up and down the stairs all the time.
And he did know a lot about those rose petals he just mentioned a minute ago. But you were the non-fuck butler, though. You were just the regular butler.
Right. He was the love-me-not butler, not the love-me-butler. And that's all you need to know about Katie Keene. Let's get into the episode. Justin, you want to take it away from here?
Let's do it. I was living in a subterranean apartment when I first moved to this city, just carried around by rats. I was a rat king.
Nice.
So this episode starts with the Met Gala, which is the Katie Keene version of the Met Gala. Fun name, as usual.
Yes.
And we start off with Guy and Katie, and Guy is listening to Katie. He is...
Yeah.
Like, they're working together, which has been sort of difficult as we've gone through this atelier situation.
And when Katie, came home after her kind of like first day of him listening, she was all like, I had the greatest day. You know, she was all pumped up about the fact that she was listening.
I continue to love on this show the relationship between the core four, or I guess the fierce four or fab four or whatever we're calling them on the show. Okay. They're just the continuing bit of Katie being like, well, I had a great day and it was a really good day at my job. And they were like, yeah, uh-huh. Did you have sex with Guy? And she's like, no, that's not what it was at all.
I would never do that.
Yeah, I would never do that. But I love that, like, it feels very authentic as a group of friends. And I think that's working very nicely.
Yeah, it is the sort of the most fun part of the show is they're very natural exchanges. And we get one here in this moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jorge's trying to get over Bernardo. We hear about KO, who was out of the picture.
Yeah.
For a whole episode.
Yeah.
And then, first off, you know, Katie King was like, I'm so inspired. And then Jorge was like, were you inspired to pay rent? Because you late. And I thought that was a fun kind of friendly ribbing, but it was more like, hey. But I also really liked how Jorge was like looking for love advice from Katie Keene. Like, hey, how'd you get over KO? And she's like, yeah, it didn't. Never happened.
Yeah.
Will never happen.
And he's wearing Bernardo's sweatshirt. There's the sweet detail that it smells like Bernardo, which I think is I don't know if this has happened with you guys, but certainly like that's a very authentic thing, I think, for a breakup where, you know, smell the things for the breakup.
For sure.
That came out way creepier than I meant.
Definitely creepy.
You tried to tiptoe around that, but you still sounded creepy.
And I especially knew you were going to say something weird when you were like, we all feel this way, right? And Alex, to be fair, you have a humidor with all the relationships you've had, just a piece of clothing. That you can just walk in and sniff like some sort of addict.
Yeah, I'm like, I like to think of myself as like a Buffalo Bill, but with scents instead of skin dresses.
Yeah,
wow. Definitely. If that's fair. Is that a fair thing?
Still is creepy.
You do
still
keep the lotion in the basket, which is a fine place to keep it.
That's what my shirt says.
That great
fine place
stuff.
To keep it.
What would you do? I mean, not that we have car. Well, you have a car, but what would you do if you're driving along and somebody had a bumper sticker that said it keeps the lotion in the basket? What would your reaction be?
I'd be like, whoa, that car can't be that old. I mean, bumper stickers are sort of falling out of style, right?
Yeah, never. I think so.
Never.
No?
If you had a bumper to put a sticker on, what would you put on it?
Always be stickering.
Great.
Wow, a pro bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah, you got a big one that says...
It's meta, like the gala we should be talking about.
Oh, nice. Wait, quick thing, because I got to forget it later. It's crazy to me that the Met Gala was set at the Brooklyn Museum.
Yeah.
That's it. Just that they didn't find it. I mean, like, it's a nice place to shoot stuff, and apparently it was a freezing...
Yeah, it looked great.
Freezing day, but it was weird seeing a location where it's like, oh, that's not the location where they'd hold that. Not at all. But
yeah, it works though, and I run past that every day. The Brooklyn Museum.
Here we go. You humble bragging about your running.
I mean, that was just regular bragging, I think.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah,
nice.
Wait, aren't we supposed to, how long do you run for, Justin?
I wasn't not at all trying to fish for that.
How many miles do you run a day?
Show us your calves. How are your calves doing?
Yeah. I'll send you guys my calf pictures.
How's your body fat percentage? I don't know what the fuck.
What's your bone density?
How tight is your skin?
Salmon.
Alex's workout regimen is, I gotta tighten up my skin.
Someday I hope to make a beautiful dress.
Gross. Oh, wow. Skin dress. Alex's just normal way his brain works.
Pete's giving us the wrap-it-up signal. Pete,
well,
our producer.
Like skin dress, back to the show. That was my...
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's a transition, technically, because it's a dress. Speaking of fashion, cloth fashion as opposed to skin fashion, Katie gets her letter from Parsons. Going to Parsons Fashion Institute, fashion school, has been her dream. It was her mother's dream for her. Jorge didn't check the mail. She gets the letter, opens it in front of her friends. They're all holding hands.
Well,
very sweet.
We should say, you know right away, because it's a small letter.
Honestly, it looked like a greeting card.
Yeah, unless you get the thick envelope that's like the congratulations, the welcome packet, the whole thing, you know you got the no. So she didn't have to open it.
They do that actually now, is they send, to sort of like soften the blow, they send greeting cards instead. So they'll just grab a bunch at the Rite Aid or wherever, and they'll be like, on the front, it'll be like, you're the best grandpa. And then you open it up and be like, sorry, you didn't make it into Parsons.
Wait, just in this scenario, a college shops at like Duane Reade and stuff and look goes by the card section?
Yeah, it's cheaper because you spend more money, you get more points that you can turn in so you can get the free cards. And yeah, they're getting such volume and works.
That's how your parents bought that Long Island City apartment, right? It's their Duane Reade points.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the future currency.
Did I say penthouse? I meant Duane Reade.
Did I say penthouse? I meant points house, because it was a Duane Reade points house. this is truly a very sad, a heartfelt thing.
Lucy Hale did a beautiful acting job in the scene. It was absolutely heartbreaking. Across the board, actually, this is one of the better episodes for her. You know, she's good regularly on the show, but
except for the end.
Hold on. But there's been certain episodes where I think she's gotten to stand out. Like there was the Polar Vortex episode that she had a really beautiful arc there. Here, she got multiple points when she really stood up and you could feel the emotion coursing through her. And that Parson scene, particularly the way that was directed, just mostly hanging on her face and letting you, the audience, feel what she was feeling was very powerful.
Yeah,
it was.
It was great. Now here's a, do we want to split up the storylines?
She also had that single tear going in the police station. That was fucking money.
Great way to cry.
Yeah.
Great way to cry.
Because you want to stay hydrated, keep all as many of those squirty tears right inside.
But I mean, a police station cry is so much different from a different, you know, like if you're any other location. I mean, she did such an amazing job with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a little more snot, to be honest. Like, make it more realistic, just like snot coursing down.
If she was in jail, yes. But on the outside, you can't do that. It's too much. It's
just snotless cry.
Yeah. Katie Keene maybe doesn't seem like the right show for actresses caked in snot. But, you know, experiment.
Yeah. Definitely experiment. Definitely experiment with your snot levels, Katie Keene. So back at Lacey's, Katie and Amanda are big surprise fighting, and a second big surprise: Katie's juggling too much.
And Amanda also had a great episode. Yeah. She had that line that says, "Don't bat your eyes at me." Just hysterical, Amanda. Killing it. I love putting them in the same place so she has to interact with Amanda more. This is so much fun.
Now, Amanda gives herself the title Fairy Godmother. So how many Fairy Godmothers does Katie Keene have at any moment? She has Amanda. And Amanda sort of fills the Gloria role here.
Right. But Gloria. Also Gloria. Yeah.
Gloria.
Gloria's paperwork that comes in handy later.
Oh, that's a separate Fairy Godmother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
paperwork?
Her guidebook.
Yes. So it's a lot. I thought it was funny that they used those words.
No, but there's also other ones, too, like K.O., anytime he's around, he's one. What's the dude who is working, like, the mannequin section?
Francois?
Francois. Mm-hmm. He's definitely one.
Yeah.
This show is like a live-action remake of Fairly Odd Parents, because there's so many of them. You know what I'm talking about.
I got you. Tight ref.
Yeah.
Very tight ref. Nickelodeon, thanks. Huge Nickelodeon cartoon series.
Yes. I am Team Amanda in this storyline, I got to be honest. Like, I think Katie constantly being like, no, you take care of it. I'm going to go hang out with Guy and take care of this because this is my dream. No. Like,
you're bad at your job.
She's got two jobs, and I understand she has to balance both of them, but she's just letting Amanda do it, and Amanda being like, no, you have to be here, she is 100% to the right about that.
And who's making
Amanda?
Who's putting shit in the windows?
Yeah, exactly. Also, right? Amanda better get this promotion instead of Katie Keene, because Amanda deserves it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Make Amanda her boss. 2020. Yeah.
And that's why I love watching this show, Amanda, last name. The main character.
Yep.
We jump over to Pepper and her ex, Hannah, who's quickly becoming sort of a big part of the show. She's opening a rival business to the Pepper plant, the Hannah House.
Hannah House.
Very fun. So Pepper immediately goes to Alex to get cash and says she's going to make Josie the house band at the Pepper plant. Pepper in this episode,
which,
and I guess in general.
Is that really? I mean, saying you have a regular slot at like 8 o'clock or something like that. That would be great. But, like, the house band, I mean, that – I don't know if that's, like, the best title.
It sort of depends because the Pepper Plant sort of feels like a mixed-use, like, rec room space. If it's a high-end, like, club or, like, one of the – like, a private club.
Like the Hannah House?
Like the Soho House, which is, I think, what they're working on here. Then it is cool to be, like, the main performers there, but – it just depends. You know, you can't ever tell with Pepper what she's promising and what she's delivering.
Yeah, it's a little unclear what she's going for, because in my mind, it's not necessarily like a Soho House type thing. It's more like a downtown theater art space that she's probably plussing up a little bit. That might be just because it looks like a warehouse now. We're going to have to see, obviously, what it looks like when it's finished. But if it is, I don't know. I think there's a cachet like... I mean, you think about it from this perspective of a comedy theater. If a comedy theater was like, hey, you're the house improv team, which is a thing that they do.
Very cool.
That's
and those things never go out of business. So I think they're going to be fine.
I wasted years of my life on a house improv team. So thanks for bringing that up.
Wow, Pete. Oh, you're crying just one tear. Way to save that saline.
I want to see that. I want to see that snot, Pete. Show me the snot.
You want a snot bubble?
Show me that improv snot.
Yeah. This is important. Go fuck yourself.
That's actually what my bumper sticker says, is show me that improv stat.
So many people just honking like, yeah, man, awesome.
I get what this is talking about.
So Pepper in this episode and across the whole season is sort of like she's always out for herself, but I do think she's genuinely out for her friends in the core four.
Yes.
Sometimes, because sometimes she throws friends under a bus, like that whole promising the evil lady that she could take away Josie's fucking rightful spot was heartbreaking.
But I think she always was going to – you're talking about Xandra. I think she when they were giving the lead in the Kiss of the Spider Woman, I think she was always going to screw over Xandra. I don't think she was ever going to screw over Josie.
I agree. I think I'm –
we don't know. How could you say that? I mean, it's
Pepper's there for her friends. Like, she has a web of lies that she's built, but every time there is a con, it has fallen in the favor of Josie, Katie, or Jorge, you know, across the board. The thing that kind of doesn't matter about it is she is lying about a ton of things, and that's seemingly going to come out next episode and sort of bring everything crumbling down.
Wait, have you seen the next episode?
No, but I saw the promo for the next episode.
I also saw in this episode where literally the cliffhanger is, I have a horrible secret about Pepper. And then we just don't know what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
What if it's she's just wearing those glasses and she doesn't really need them? You know, you don't know what the horrible secret is.
That's true. Yeah. I feel betrayed anytime someone is wearing non-prescription glasses. Like, you two fuckers better be wearing prescription glasses.
Dude, you do not have to fucking worry. Yeah, I'm fucking long conning you for fucking 17 years of doing a podcast, and I don't need these glasses.
Yeah, this is actually my prop hair, though.
That's true. Well, we've known that since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I actually have a pair of invisible glasses that you guys can't see.
Wow. Cool.
Why don't you adjust them for us so we can see?
No problem.
That's amazing.
That's object work I learned on a house improv team. Let's keep it going. We get the Jorge and his family are sort of a runner for this whole episode. I feel like we could talk about that whole plot line pretty quickly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
I like Jorge's brother in this episode.
So do I.
What's that?
So do I.
Great. He feels like...
me too!
Yeah!
All right, that's all we need to say. He feels like the glue that holds the family together in a good way. And it also feels like Jorge's dad gets sort of this spot as a little bit the bad guy, but he also feels like he's playing it pretty real. Like, he does love both of his sons. And I like that they didn't pit Jorge and his cop brother against each other, because I felt that could have been there.
I agree. But, and again, we've talked about this in previous episode, but what I appreciate about how they were the scenes between Jorge and his dad is that his dad is saying, I just don't understand this. I can't wrap my mind around it. Mm-hmm. To me, you're just dressing in women's clothing. Obviously, to Jorge, that's not it at all. It's something entirely different. That's who he is. But his dad doesn't get it. He's trying to understand it, but he can't get past that wall. And at the same time, the main thing that he cares about is his son being safe. And all of these feelings feel very real versus, to the same point you're saying with the cop brother, the dad could very easily be like, no son of mine's going to be a drag queen. You're not going to be a cross dresser, but that's not what he's doing. But,
What I really like about it is, they're coming from the dad of a place of caring, right? So the dad sees, you know, Jorge and sees the fact that they got jumped and beat up. And there's a rash of these beating up of drag queens and people dressing in certain ways. So he's saying, why won't you get yourself out of harm's way? You know, like he can't understand that.
Yeah.
And Jorge's coming from the perspective of, you're telling me not to be myself. I can't be who I want to be, you know? And it's like, it's a great kind of thing to talk about. And it's also a great thing for the show to kind of not have the dad cave too quick, where you don't feel like if the dad was just like, okay, you know, then it does. But the fact that the dad's kind of struggling and also coming from a place where he wants to understand or is trying, I think is a great thing that the show is doing.
I agree. I think that was a great breakdown of it, because it really is just they don't understand each other's position.
Right. Perspective, you know, what one thing means to the other one.
And the other thing we find out at the end of the episode is that Jorge's parents have been secretly keeping their rent cheap. And I think this makes Jorge feel bad, and that they are always trying to protect him. And so that, I think, pushes him to go back to auditioning, which is something he had said it doesn't want to do because it's not who he is. So I thought that was an interesting, we don't see the dad again, which I thought was a little weird, sort of left that unresolved. And Jorge makes a choice that is sort of moving away from what he wants.
Yeah, but I also really like how the mom is, you know, controlling of the father, like, and also like trying to say that like the father means well, you know, and the brother's also kind of like reiterating that. But I like the fact that they're establishing the bond between Jorge and his mom, and I'm glad they haven't dropped that. And because like this could just like, especially with this storyline, focus too much on the dad, because I really like the dynamic that the mom and Jorge have.
Yeah. The other thing that happens is Bernardo shows up and Jorge sort of says, I need to be by myself right now. So I thought that was interesting, too, because it felt like Bernardo was like, I just went running a couple times with Buzz. It's not him, which is running a great way to stay in shape, especially like going every day.
Can we talk about that? Like, I almost
Justin running. No, I don't want to talk about it anymore. We
no
already
one
covered
wants to
it
talk on about that, Pete. No one wants to talk about the mileage I'm doing every day.
But if you could show us your calves, I think that would be very nice.
Yes. Again, I will post several pictures of my calves when this podcast comes out.
What were you going
to
say,
Pete? I got choked up because I thought they were going to be able to get back together because Bernardo admitted like, hey, it didn't work out. It kind of really seemed like Bernardo wanted to get back together with Jorge. And then Jorge shut it down and I couldn't believe it. He's wearing his shirt. He's saying that he cares about him so much. But Jorge's like, I have to work on myself right now, which... good, because Jorge's kind of erratic and it feels like he has too much going on. But you don't have to, like, the way he talked to Bernardo, I felt like he could have explained it a little bit more and just been like, hey, listen, like, I want to be with you, but, you know, I'm kind of all over the place. It was just like, no, I'll get back to you maybe. And I was like, damn.
What do you say, Alex?
Oh, no. I thought
you were opening your mouth to say something. And
I know. I felt like I was going to say something, but then I realized Pete actually said it really well. That's all.
Pete is crushing it right now.
You are. You got to get wine drunk more often, bud.
You understand people more when you've had several glasses of very thick Chardonnay or whatever.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is.
It's a blend. It's a fun blend.
I got to be honest. That's thick enough. That might be frosting. I don't think that's why at all.
Yeah, you're having a glucose sugar aneurysm. So let's talk about...
Wait, but that didn't hit you guys at all? Like, they're kind of like almost getting back together at all?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, with the Jorge storyline, I'm way more into what's going on with his dad and what's going on with his parents than what they're doing in the Bernardo Buzz direction, because to the point that you were saying, Pete, it just does feel more erratic, which I understand is realistic behavior. Sometimes we don't do things that make sense, particularly in relationships, but it's not engaging me on the same level that the dad Jorge conflict is hitting me on.
Personally. Yeah. And I thought it was a mature choice of Jorge's to be like, I need to figure some shit out, because he was a mess. He's been sort of a little bit all over the place the whole season. And I think he needs to figure out what he wants. All these characters are like, I need to figure out what I want to do. That's like the whole thing. Except for Josie, which is maybe who we should talk about next. She now definitely knows what she wants to do. It's just her getting there. And she makes some big steps forward after last episode. She was screwed over when Xandra like stole her song and her idea for a band.
Dude, this is...
So the Met Gala is happening. Pepper concocts this water scam.
Well, that's, you know what that's a play on, right?
What?
Who is Corky Romano?
No, the, you remember when there was that fashion show and the Fiji water girl was in the background of all the... Okay, don't play with my fucking emotions.
Yeah, but I was talking, the hashtag that she uses is hashtag what is the pepper plant, which is a bad hashtag. That's just not a good hashtag. It's too long. Too complicated.
Yeah.
Who cares?
You guys are hashtag experts all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always I get paid hashtag to do who that. Cares? I consult. People pay me with their personal Twitter accounts to consult on their hashtags. I make millions.
I consult on wedding hashtags. Like, I can come up with them on the spot. Like, Zalbengaged. That's yours. Hashtag Zalbengaged.
And yours is... I didn't go with it, but I had to pay Justin a lot of money for that anyway.
Very expensive. Wow. Yes, very expensive. And Pete's, of course, is Turn LePage. Hashtag Turn LePage. Could still get some use out of that one, Pete.
Great.
This... plot line, just to get back to the whole Pepper Josie thing. As much as I loved it in the TV show, there was it broke the reality for me so hard. Just
that's why it's meta, Gally, because it got meta.
And it's great. They did a great job on like a CW TV budget of doing something that is supposed to be like the Met Gala. I loved it across the board. Everybody looked great. Josie coming in and crashing the thing and performing a little. Super fun.
Very fun.
But just thinking about it from the perspective of this supposed to be this world's, this reality's Met Gala, which is like the biggest fashion event of the year that has packed the gills with celebrities.
It was supposed to be this week.
It was supposed to be this week.
In real life. Yeah.
And you can't photograph. Like, you can't take pictures inside. There are some people that do, like, sneak stuff out and post things.
So that's what you're like, there's no photographs. This is inaccurate and Glavin.
No. Shut up. Because they do have a huge red carpet for the Met Gala. And clearly that's what's going on here.
So that
that's
was all. Accurate. Check. Okay, so far, so good.
The security wasn't tight enough, Dad. If this is supposed to be the biggest fashion celebrity thing of the year, that they're like, we didn't watch the doorways. Somebody randomly came in with some water and then an entire band performed. That's just not the sort of thing that would happen in the Met Gala. I'm sorry.
Wow. Mr. Stickler over here.
Yeah. It couldn't have happened this way.
That's
I thought it was great when they moved the walls and Josie and the Pussycat performed. And
super
she was like, talk to the hand. That was a great song.
And the song was good.
Yeah, this whole thing's fun. It was fun. I started off by saying, for what they could do, it was fun.
No, that's such a backhanded
security is often
thing to say.
Like very confused by fake walls. Because walls are pretty solid. You don't have to secure them. They're just there.
So they keep walking because they're like, well, is there, I can just, you know,
and
guard
doors
someplace
too.
Else.
Nobody's at the doors or anything like that. They don't care what's going on.
As long as the doors are closed. Walls are the original security.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
This Josie and the Pussycats do perform. The song's great. It crushes. They get a bunch of interest. Xandra's there. She's very mad. And Kaio's with Xandra. And I thought it was interesting. Kaio's reaction wasn't like, haha, they're right. He was sort of like on Xandra's side.
They're dating.
I just thought it was interesting.
I agree. He is more on Xandra's side because they're in a relationship right now.
Pete, I don't know. How do you feel about that, dude? I think KO is on the wrong team.
Whoa, don't you? I want to get to something that actually got me choked up.
Wait, can I just say this? Do you think KO is not okay?
Yeah.
No.
Thanks. That's all I wanted to say. I'm good.
No,
go ahead, Pete.
Boo. Can we talk about KO's entrance at the Met Gala? And...
not yet.
Okay.
But we will talk about that. Josie, huge win. But concurrently to this, Pepper is trying to close up her relationship with Hannah and win in this sort of battle they're having over who can run the coolest club. After... it's Pepper versus Hannah at the red carpet. Hannah got invited to the Met Gala using Pepper's contacts. Pepper's mad because she has to wear a dumb costume to be in there. So Hannah and Pepper meet at their bar, gets her to sign the paper. She had secretly invited her mom, Hannah's mom, there.
Did anybody else think it was weird how she was just like, here, sign this paperwork? And she was like, well, you put in front of me, so I have to sign it. It was Hannah put up such a fight, and it didn't seem like Pepper had the leverage to make her sign it. It wasn't until the mom showed up that was like, really, she had any leverage over her.
Well, I think it was Pepper sort of fooled her again because she was playing on her heart a little bit, saying like, hey, we really had a good relationship. And I think that's what pushes Hannah to sign the paperwork. And then Pepper, very sort of cruelly, gets her taken back to her wealthy family.
Now, I have a question about Pepper and Hannah. Do you think they were ever in Morocco together? Do you think, because I feel like that detail hasn't come up at any point in the show. They haven't really mentioned that. So I was just curious to know what you think about
Morocco. Morocco is code for something.
Yes.
The way they say it, because they look at each other and like, Morocco?
Marrakesh, yes. Yeah. It is very intense how many times they say that. But it's a cool brag.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not the kind of person that would ever continually say something as a means of bragging about it, so I don't get that. But I'm sort of like running away from that as a person, but like that's what Pepper's doing. Quickly, running quickly away.
Yeah, you're making some interesting points there, which are, I agree with, like Dwayne Reed points that might potentially buy a part of that sort of thing.
Yeah, 100%.
All I've got is my wine.
And you know, that's all you need. So Hannah, on her way to being dragged off by her mom, goes to Alex Cabot and blows up Pepper's spot.
Oh,
and Alex,
just when you think Pepper is clear of the grenade, nope, thrown back in the record store.
Yeah, the old chubbies. And we get a big cliffhanger where
old chubbies,
where Alex Cabot goes to Josie and is like, hey, you got to learn this. You got to hear this stuff about Pepper, which is interesting because Josie's been the one who's called out Pepper in the past. So really setting up a tough dynamic for the last few episodes of the season.
I do wonder, just because Josie is the newbie to this Fab Four, whether this is the sort of thing where like Jorge and Katie will side with Pepper.
Oh, wow. You're talking social dynamics here. You're saying because she's the new person in, the old friends are going to cling together and fight for each other, not listen to the noob? Is that what you're saying?
Don't listen to the noob.
No. No. Yeah. You gotta believe. You can't.
You gotta believe.
You think they're going to side with Juicy over Pepper? I think ultimately, obviously, they're going to like be upset at Pepper and then welcome her back because she's a friend, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like the reaction would be, no, Josie, what are you talking about? Get the fuck out of here.
Go back to Riverdale, that shitty place you keep talking about.
Why don't you just die there? Make some more references we don't understand to people we've never met.
Yeah.
Why don't you go hang out with Kevin?
Yeah, they love Kevin.
They do.
I do think Pepper's going to have a knee-jerk reaction of throwing Josie under the bus, and then eventually she's going to have her come-clean moment to everybody where whatever this horrible secret is, we're going to find
out. Yeah, I feel like it's just going to play out. Like, at first, everybody's like, fuck you, Pepper, and then Pepper's going to be like, oh, you guys had it easy your whole lives. Everything's fine. You've never, you know, dealt with, I'm trying to do something that's good here, and you guys are a part of that. And then they're going to be like, all right, Pepper, we love you. Sorry.
She's going to be like, I'm not 29. I'm 30. And they're going to be disgusted
and
by
they'll
that.
Be like, gross. Yeah. Gross. Like,
that's
ew.
The oldest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
Carousel. Carousel, they'll shout. I assume her secret is the thing that we already kind of know as the audience that her friends don't necessarily know, which is that she grew up in that hotel. Her dad was the doorman. We don't know necessarily who her mom is or anything like that. And she's not actually, I feel like she's not English. And we're going to get like an accent drop there as soon as that reveal happens. And we're going to get almost a new character going forward.
I feel like it's going to be like a Black Widow situation where she's actually a trained assassin and she's played so many different roles. She doesn't know who she is anymore type of thing.
Wow. That would be a fun reveal. You think they could get all that story out in two episodes?
You damn right they can.
Yeah, I agree. I think her secret is just she's been lying about everything. A classic secret.
I wonder if even her name isn't Pepper. That I could see that happening. Like, my name is Julia Stiles. You know, something just some sort of name.
Wow. Huge reveal.
Wow, wait, did you just fucking diss Julia Stiles?
No, Julia Stiles will come and play, take over the role. She's going to pull a rubber mask off.
Right.
Nice.
She'll be like, hey, save the last dance for me.
Yeah. Everyone
That's
gets it.
That's all I had.
So let's jump over to Katie. Back into Katie. So she has to, her and Guy have to make it, or Guy has to make a dress for Casey Wilson. Great celebrity guest star. Love Casey Wilson. She's New York comedy royalty.
But would she be invited to the Met Gala is my question.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I mean, is she
fuck
the level
you.
Of star who would walk the fuck Met you. Gala carpet?
I mean, they fuck said, I didn't look it up, but has she ever gone?
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Talk about the plot line, and I will actually.
It made me think the way they talked about it, that she actually has been, because otherwise it would be weird that they would reference so much how much a thing it is for her, but... I guess we'll never know.
How? First off, why are you focused on that? That's not important.
It is important.
She's funny. She's a great actress. She's killing this role. That's what matters.
Yeah. So, Katie,
fucking don't look up her resume to see if she can pull off this fucking.
It's not
cameo.
About if
the
she can pull.
You.
It's not if she can pull off the cameo. I'm curious if Casey Wilson in real life has gone to the Met Gala, because they do sort of point at that in this episode a lot.
Her character, yeah. I mean,
well, she's playing herself is the thing. It's the same name, so that's
yeah. But it's also like, you know, if this is Katie Keene's New York, you know what I mean?
Yes, we all live in Katie Keene's New York.
I wish.
So Casey wants a dress from Guy LaMontagne, and Katie wants to help, but Guy feels like he needs to go alone. And that's sort of what's this whole thing spins on. Guy's having a hard time designing it.
Can we talk about that dress that he designed, though?
So much
fabric.
That
was awful. That was
You didn't like
awful.
It?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Is this the point that we mentioned that Pete was on two seasons of Fashion Police?
Yeah, that's right. He was the original Heidi Klum in Project Runway, and then she took over.
Yeah.
Hashtag turn the page.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know. That is another thing. I know I've mentioned this several times on the podcast, but I feel entirely unqualified when I'm watching the show to give any criticism or understand in any way about any of these dresses or any of this fashion stuff. So I watch it and they're like, this is an amazing dress. And I'm like, great. I'm just going to go with you on that. That sounds good to me.
But I feel like every time they've said it's an amazing dress, it is. And this one wasn't. And then Katie's was great. I feel like every time Katie's.
Oh, sure. But that was the point.
That was the point. Was right.
Guy didn't quite figure it out. And then Katie took the bare bones of his dress and made it into something better, just as she made his bone into something better at the end of the episode.
Oh, come on, man. Damn. Don't you? No.
Got you,
put
bro.
Your hand away from the camera.
Yeah, high five.
No. Woo. Boo.
Right,
boo.
Pete?
No.
Virtual high five.
I want to talk about what an asshole guy has been for most of this episode.
I think he's having his own internal struggles. And
we'll go through it.
And I thought it was interesting seeing Guy and then KO, because we get a big confrontation where KO's going to the Met Gala. His underwear career is popping. And KO gets into Guy's face. And Guy, I thought Guy was just being like a normal normal fashion boss.
Nah.
A little snarky, but KO doesn't understand their relationship. KO's like, chill, dude. And then KO punches him, which was way out of line.
Nope. Yes. Nope.
Well, particularly all right, go ahead.
If your name is Guy, you don't pick a fight with a dude whose name is KO. And also, Guy knows about KO.
Pete, okay? Both of their names are characters in like a Nintendo fighting game.
So what? My point is still valid.
Guy versus KO. Fight!
Uppercut! Uppercut!
Yeah. Sonic
Boom! Who's
going to
win in that Nintendo game? KO is going to win.
Not in this case.
I would play KO Kelly's punch out. I'm just putting that out there.
I'm really hoping especially after this scene, we get to see KO fight a little bit, because that was a sweet punch he threw.
He is. He's supposed to. I mean, I guess who knows when we're going to see it, but there were shots.
I've seen a lot of actors trying to punch, and that was a fucking legit punch that he threw.
Well,
that
what was I was going to say, there were shots of, apparently there's some sort of like KO Kelly, Archie Andrews crossover where they fight in El Royale in Riverdale. So we'll get to see that.
I would love to
see
that.
That'll be fun.
But my point is, like, I think that, like, Guy is upset, thinks he runs everything, and KO was like, hey, listen, you might be a big shot, but, like, you know, you shouldn't be talking like that. And then fucking lets him have it. As he should. It was great.
So out of line. He's an underwear model showing up to get a suit, and he's like, hey, I don't know like what you're saying. And he just punches him for no reason. And despite
Met Gala carpet, like that would never happen at the Met Gala, because they have all the security and these
the
big
carpet.
Celebrities there. That's the sort of thing that would never in a million years happen.
Alex ran security at the Met Gala, apparently.
I did very badly.
Were you a line producer for the Met Gala or something? What happened?
What?
Were you a line producer or an intern?
Yeah, I was a line producer.
Those are the only two roles in production, as we've established.
I do
want to
step back and talk about a couple of things before the red carpet itself that I thought were super fun. The scene where KO is trying on a suit and KO is and Katie is putting it on him. Very sweet. Also very funny. Amanda checking him out in the Caballero underwear.
Oh, that was great.
Whole scene was enjoyable. And I love the scene of Casey Wilson and Katie sitting down and chatting about what they should do about the dress and everything else. First of all, the line right at the beginning where they just cut it and Casey Wilson is like, hey, did you have a face transplant with like a Disney princess or something?
Yeah.
So funny.
Hysterical. She goes, this is actually my face.
Very fun.
That was great.
Incredible. Yeah.
And that's why she deserves to go to every Meta Gala.
I agree.
She's hysterical.
That scene turned so nicely from being a funny scene to a really heartfelt and sweet scene, particularly from Casey Wilson's perspective, that I thought was really, really lovely.
And it felt like, oh, they're just having a sweet scene, but it actually was the inspiration for the dress that Katie eventually makes for her, which I thought was just really well sewn together.
It felt natural. It felt really kind of flowed nicely. And I also loved the way that Katie was kind of panicking and turns to Gloria's guidebook. That was so cool.
Yeah.
I really tied in nicely.
We also skipped over the whole thing about Guy freaking out about the dress, going on a bender and going around town, and Katie eventually tracking him down, which led to that great scene in the police station that we mentioned before, where Katie is sobbing and talking to him about his privilege.
I mean, Well, that was kind of crazy because they're both pretty privileged. So that was a little tough, like one person lecturing another person about privilege. But still, she was correct because, like, you know, she's been working her ass off for something that he just shrugs off. And she kind of said that so well. But also, like, she shows up at a fucking precinct with an egg sandwich, which, dude, when you need an egg sandwich and someone comes through with an egg sandwich, that's fucking amazeballs. And then a coffee.
That's love. That's why he falls in love with her by the end of the episode. And by love, I mean desk sex.
Yeah, on top of Gloria's desk of all places. Well, I mean, hold on.
The other thing that I wanted to mention on the carpet that I thought was an absolutely wonderful moment and just like perfectly executed rom-com moment is Guy coming in at the last second, taking over Casey Wilson's dress, walking her on the carpet when Katie was finally going to get her dream of walking the carpet with Casey Wilson. And her reaction there is proud and sad and so many things at the same time. And then Guy gets interviewed.
Yeah.
And wait, we got to back up the truck out, in a second.
What?
Wait, you got to back up the truck. Because there is this moment where Guy's sister is kind of like panicking, and then everybody's like, who's going to walk me? Who's going to walk me? And she goes, Katie Keene, you're up. And we have this rush of like, holy shit, she's going to walk the fucking red carpet at the Met Gala.
And they started playing.
Feeling it. Philadelphia, feeling that Rocky pride.
Yeah, you got it. How could you not get caught up in it? But it was, like, so heartbreaking. But then Guy, the least he could fucking do is give her a shout-out at the end. He finally does it.
No, it was very sweet. Yeah, it was
the
perfect.
The moment was perfect.
Do you know what the perfect thing was? Is when KO knew it was her dress. KO fucking knew it
that,
was
I
her
agree.
Dress.
That was a very cool moment.
I got fucking choked up there. That was fucking beautiful.
But also, I feel like KO's the kind of guy that's like, all these dresses are yours, right, babe?
No, fuck you. Don't you fucking come at KO like that. He didn't have to say that. He knew it.
What's he going to do about it?
He fucking knew it,
What's
man.
He going to do about it? Punch me? Go yeah, bring it on, KO.
He would.
Bring
Did
it on.
Did you make these in your clothes machine?
Hey, fuck you guys.
Hey,
KO
did you,
is a fucking beautiful person.
You enlarged all these Barbie dresses again. Good work, Katie.
Let's go to your Malibu house.
It is weird that there were no consequences for KO for punching Guy. Literally zero.
Well, what's nice is Guy didn't press charges because he knew he was an asshole.
But then he told Katie that she was worth something, that he called her out of the carpet in the absolute best way.
But KO's been saying that the whole time.
He, doing that, Guy LaMontagne, who is a prominent designer, giving an interview, you're making a jerk-off motion, but that's what happened later on, so let's get there in a moment. He calling her out on the carpet, saying
so
she is going to be somebody's name you should know, that skyrockets her career instantly in this scenario. And that is an incredible, huge move.
Yeah, he better fucking do it. She saved his ass.
I know, but nobody would actually do that in real life, which is what makes it a perfect rom-com type move, which pays off at the end. When he looks at her in that way, tells her she's going to be a huge star, and they smooch and they do it on the desk, just happened to in her dream.
Yep.
Her dreams came true. All of her dreams.
Her sex desk, dreams.
It's been like 2 days since she's left, and people are already fucking on her desk like it's a fucking closet in the back of some club.
Well, here's the thing. I think that's going to come up, because Gloria will probably come back in one of these next two episodes, and she will also have had sex on that desk when she was in Katie's position, is what I truly think. Also, a lot of doors open when they were having sex on that desk. That was bold at work.
Close that stuff.
Yeah, close that stuff with doors. Or have your butler do it, or somebody that works.
Somebody. I mean, when you're on the 43rd floor, you don't have to close doors anymore.
No, we left all of the doors, the windows open. Usually we fell out and died, but, you know, That's life, man.
That's life. Life in the penthouse, baby.
Any other notes we want to talk about from this episode of Katie Keene? No?
I was very happy with Katie Keene and then super disappointed by the end of the episode.
Wow.
Really?
I really hoped she would listen to Gloria and not give in to Guy. At least if you're, okay, great. If you're going to do that, awesome. Have a relationship with Guy, but like, don't fuck on Gloria's desk. Come on.
I mean, it's not going to turn out well for her. You know, I think I love this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun. I'm very sold on the Guy relationship, particularly because.
Nope. He's Satan.
Because Luke Cook and Lucy Hale have a ton of chemistry together, which nope. I think is great. But ultimately, she's going to end up with KO, so that's fine, too. It's all
well,
good.
I guess we'll see.
You I'm hear on, that, Justin?
I'm on the Guy train. Yeah. And clearly, this is a high Guy point. And maybe they're going to end up going back to KO. But KO's really his Xandra stuff? That's not cool, man.
Yeah. I guess we'll see what happens.
You got to love the one you're with, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, couple of things before we go. If you want to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live to the internet show every Tuesday at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. Happy to chat about Katie Keene, comic books, whatever you want to talk about. It's all
let's
good, bro.
Let's just talk. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk
let's just talk. That's the name of the show. Let's just talk. It's actually Comic Book Club. You should search for that instead.
Oh, interesting.
iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. We don't have Katie Keene's social feeds, but you can check out our Riverdale feeds. Riverdale Dark on Twitter, Riverdale After on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this show, and many more. And whatever you're dreaming of, use those dream points, cash them in, get yourself an apartment. Bye-bye.